This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Good evening and welcome to the Easter edition of Dystopical, folks. So this session, we are hoping that you're spending time with friends, with family, and if the kids are off from school, then with kids. And that's why we kind of wanted to focus this session on being a same-sex family. So we'll be talking with Tracy. Welcome, Tracy.
Hello.
From Rainbow Families Council, which is a volunteer community organization, and their aim is to ensure equality for rainbow families. So that's parents, partners, prospective parents who identify as being lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, or intersex, and for their kids.
And of course, we always welcome your feedback. So during the show, feel free to text us on 0427 Joy949, Facebook us at Dystopical, that's DYSTOPICAL, or email us at dear.dystopical@gmail.com or dystopical@joy.org.au. And we are very much looking forward to talking to Tracy about the Rainbow Families Council and everything that they do. But first up, we're going to go to a track. And you're listening to Lady Hawk with My Delirium, and then, of course, Lady Gaga with Bad Romance. Welcome back to Dystopical.
So, Tracy, thanks again for joining us. And just to start, how about you tell us about what the Rainbow Family Council does and what their work is?
I guess in a nutshell, just trying to sort of give you a brief overview, it's a volunteer council, so it's made up of volunteer members who spend a lot of their time, limited time, trying to do a great deal of different things. Like, we have different campaigns. We got the adoption campaign, marriage campaigns. We try to do education. We've been doing stuff with early childhood centres. We've got primary school resource and grants to get that happening. So our main, I guess, goal or things we're trying to do is information, support, networking to the community. We have a website that's got a whole lot of resources available. We do information sessions. So it's quite, diverse. There's a whole range of issues in the community. So, yeah, we do a lot.
Great.
Glad to hear it, really.
So let's start with the basics. What kind of options are available to queer parents in Victoria? For example, adoption or sperm donors, etc. And what are the pros and the cons?
Okay. Look, in terms of, I guess the first point, adoption, we can't actually adopt in Victoria.
Oh, really?
No. I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's foster, so we can foster, there's permanent care arrangements, but we can't actually adopt.
And is that just in the state of Victoria, or is that true for other states as well?
No, the other states, there's adoption laws that recognise same-sex, but in Victoria, no. So we've still got a bit of work to do. So I guess that links back to the bigger issues about the adoption campaign that we're doing with Rainbow Families Council.
Mm-hmm. So at the moment, if you wanted to adopt, you'd have to move interstate?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Can you adopt as a single person? Does that work?
Look, I am not all over every aspect of it. I guess go to the website, it'll give you information, but if anyone is wanting to pursue how they create their family and what they want to do, check out the website, legal advice, like even the information we have there, we always recommend. There is the legal kit that's attached to the website.
And it's a great website. I've had a look at it. So we'll put up all that information just a little later on. But okay, so back to this, the kind of options available. So there, adoption not yet in Victoria, but yes, in other states. There's the donor route. There's the IVF route. How do those work?
Through the clinics, you've got the options of using no longer anonymous, you've got sperm donors, but it's in the interest of the child who can have access to who the sperm donor is in Victoria. Then you've got your own known donors. You can do self-insemination at home. You can use a clinic as well through that process. So I guess there's a range of different options people can use to create their own families.
And IVF is something that's mentioned a fair bit. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yep. IVF is a different process. I guess that's a sort of more medical process.
And what the acronym is in vitro fertilization. Right.
Yes, yep, that's correct. And I guess people need to be aware of what the, you know, the financial and the emotional process and impact that'll have. IVF, you have to get a referral through your GP and go through a clinic.
Mm-hmm.
And again, look through the website. That'll give you more information about the sort of nuts and bolts and how to go about it, what to think about. I guess there's a lot of thinking that goes into forming our families, whichever way you choose to do it. And I reckon you sort of should go to the website. They give you as much information to think about what it is that you need to consider, because there is a minefield, you know.
And
regardless,
I think one of the things you mentioned and something that we do hear quite often is cost. The cost of all these different things are really, really different. And they vary across whatever you're deciding to go with. But that whatever you do, there's quite a lot of sort of reserve and disposable income that you need, because
it's a big financial commitment.
Absolutely. Medicare will only cover so much of the IVF process. But even if you're going interstate and, you know, you're trying to create your family interstate, accessing different clinics, just the whole process in general, if you need to have some, I guess, financial, you know, stability.
And we were just having a quick look at the IVF website here. And the costs seem actually pretty significant. We were looking at them, and it's about $2,000-something for, you know, the first round, and then it drops off a little bit after that, but not significantly.
And that's $2,000 once you've got the rebate up front. You need to pay about $6,500, I believe.
Right, it is. So it's, yeah, it's
a significant amount.
It is, definitely.
No, $6,845.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, then you've got the emotional roller coaster going through that process as well. So there's a lot to consider, and I guess that's what most, when we're talking to, you know, people, the couples, whether you're a single person as well, you've got to think extensively about what you're doing. We encourage people to use counsellors to get support and information, and that's part of the process as well. Do your research, access the Law Kit, and talk to friends and family. There's plenty of support groups and networks, and again, those links are on the website that'll you know, direct you where you need to go.
Yeah. Now, you touched a little bit before on legislation that makes it difficult for prospective same-sex parents. Is there any particular legislation or particular policies that make life difficult for same-sex families people that already have kids?
I guess there's the Family Law Act, because the challenges with that is the recognition and the challenges for our families, and the complications and the minefield of different family scenarios. I guess for gay men, it's difficult. There's challenges under the ART Act and what they can do financially. There's altruistic surrogacy for Victoria, so it's, you know,
what does that mean?
That means basically that, you know, you can't pay someone to be a surrogate. You need to have someone who does it for, you know, altruistic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess there's limitations, there's more challenges, or you know, there's more steps for gay men to be thinking about and to go through. So,
and I was just looking at some of the stats, and they're not very recent. Just on the Australian Census sort of population housing website. And there were stats from 1996, 2001, and then 2007. And it showed that between each of those times, so between 1996 and 2001, there was a doubling almost of same-sex couples in the census. So obviously those people are more comfortable sort of talking about these things in sort of, or being counted as a same-sex couple. But then you look at the numbers of sort of heterosexual couples with children, and the number of same-sex couples with children, and the number is significantly different. I think it's just 0.1% of total Australian couples with kids are same-sex couples. So it's a very, very small segment of the population at this stage, I would imagine, and even less so men than lesbian women.
Yeah, that's correct, because they've got more barriers.
Yeah,
to consider. It's harder.
Yeah, and I think the same. I was looking at another website and which showed about 89% of parents were female same-sex couples as opposed to men. Does that sound about right to you?
Yep, that sounds. Yep.
Wow, so a huge difference there.
When we come back from the break, we're going to be talking about the school system and how children of same-sex parents fare at school. But first, a song. And you were listening to Heartbreak Made Me a Dancer by the Freemasons featuring Sophie Baxter, and of course, Heavy Cross by The Gossip.
And so just to continue the conversation, Kat and I have a guest with us this evening, Tracy. And Tracy, you were just about to start telling us about the school system and how accepting that is for queer parents and queer, well, kids of queer parents, I suppose, yep. Not queer kids.
Could be.
Well, they might be at some point, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess I just wanted to talk about... you know, what's happening in schools. Rainbow Families Council has been done some work with early childhood centres. We've got some flyers and brochures and information for the kids and to put up for early childhood centres and for the educators to know how to include same-sex families. Mm-hmm. So there's some pretty fantastic posters and they're pitched for kids and to see all sorts of diverse families. And we're extending that into schools as well. Mm-hmm. So there's a working group doing that work at the moment. And I guess that leads into schools, you know, what's the experience in schools? It varies, I guess, from one school to another, you know, their ability to understand what the issues are. I guess we continue to do lots of education and campaigning at a very sort of grassroots level with each school. There's a lot more information available, so... We have that information, you know, you can print off the information off the website and you can take it into the schools. You can do that yourself.
So that's encourage a great
people.
Resource.
Yeah. Yeah, we encourage people to do stuff themselves as well. So,
and have the experiences generally been that the schools, the teachers, you know, other parents are accepting, or does it vary, or is it pretty bad still out there?
No, generally there's improvement. From our personal experience, you know, accepted inclusion. We've come a long way. I can't say that for every school. I guess it varies. But even across schools that, you know, have a religious sort of base to your government-funded schools, they're, you know, it varies. But the willingness and the inclusion depends on, you know, the principals, the teachers. Again, you just... sort of we got to all do our little bit to be out there and educating, and the more visibility that we have, that's what's going to change.
And I know that there has been some research as well that indicates that kids from same-sex families do pretty much exactly the same in school. They have the same level of delinquency. They are bullied at the same rate, though probably about different things. But I think I read some great quote in the research that it's like, well, yes, they may be getting bullied about being from a same-sex family, but that just means that they're not being bullied about something else.
Absolutely. There is a lot of research around it about our families and how they fare compared to the rest of the community. But if anything, our families are the most planned. We're very considered about what we're doing and how we're doing it. These are kids that are wanted and very, you know, thought about to even create our family. So,
and a lot of hard work goes into creating
absolutely.
Them. As we read from some of the stories on the website, yep. And we'll come back to one of those stories later. But and I just wanted to touch on Kat's point again that, you know, there's a lot of, I guess, the back, the problems or the feedback that you get from general community is that often, and not always, is that, you know, same-sex parents can't do the same job as a heterosexual couple, that kids need a parent that is a female and a male.
Which doesn't say a lot for divorced families or you know, God forbid you were a widow or a widower. Does that mean that you're suddenly an incompetent parent? No, I think this just grows out of homophobia and lack of education.
Yeah. And there's a really good quote, you know, from a New York University academic who says that the family type that is best for children is one that has responsible, committed, stable parents. And, you know, she goes on to say that two parents on average are better than one, but one really good parent is better than two not so good ones. So really it's about, you know, the quality and the commitment and the love that's in there rather than
the gender.
The gender. or the numbers,
absolutely.
I suppose.
Yes.
And I guess there's also been enough time now to do longitudinal or sort of longer term surveys of kids raised in same-sex family households. And as Kat was mentioning earlier, it really is quite funny how they measure things like the grade point average, which has been pretty much exactly the same. They measure things like delinquent activities and who's more likely to be a participant in delinquent activities, like damaging property, shoplifting, getting into fights. And on average, kids of heterosexual and same-sex parents both rated 1.8 out of 10. So I don't know what that, scale is of how delinquent you are, but...
Yeah, but the point is that they're fundamentally the same statistics.
Yeah.
Regardless of, whether your parents are homosexual or heterosexual.
Absolutely. It's about... Essentially, it comes back to the basics of if you've got love, you've got support, you've got care, you're going to function well. If you're in the absence of those,
Then you're not.
Exactly. So someone's always going to have an argument and they'll draw different research and different ideas for different things. So,
Absolutely.
We're doing pretty good.
Now, Fareen mentioned before about some of the actual experiences and stories about lesbian couples that have wanted to start a family. Is there some that you can tell us about?
Oh, look, there's a range of different ways people have gone about creating their families. I guess I'm happy to talk from our personal point of view. My partner and I have, two little ones, and the way we've gone about it is probably different from the way many families have done it, but some have probably done it the same way. I guess you can either go through a clinic, you can go through a known donor. For gay men particularly, you've got to go through surrogacy generally. But the way we've done it, it's gone through a known donor, and that's worked for us. And, there's different issues to consider for everyone. So I guess it's about what you're comfortable with, whether you want to go through a clinic, whether you want to go through a known donor and do it that way. There's things that you've got to think about the roles and the legal sort of repercussions around that when it's... if you're doing it with a friend, there's just various ways you want to do it. It's very personal.
Look, this is something that I've been thinking about, not as in I'm thinking about having a baby, but, the concept for a while. And it just seems like there's...
Oh, and congratulations, if you are, darling. I'm totally there, supportive of you.
Yeah, thanks. Fareen did once offer to be my turkey baster person. Anyway, that's a story for another time. But anyway, it seems like there's so much information and it's very confusing. So after we come back from the next track, I'd like to ask some questions about where you start this process.
Absolutely.
Yep. Welcome back to Dystopical. You were fortunate enough to be listening to E.T., which is a Katy Perry remix. And Fareen and I had a little tiff about that while we were off air, because she gets to choose the music, and sometimes I don't like it, I have to say. Our next section now
is... And my response to that is tough.
I was trying to keep going so that you didn't have a chance to, say anything, but I'll hand over to you for Dear Dystopical Phone.
Thanks. Despite, the differences in music preference, we usually get along okay. anyway.
It's true.
We're back interviewing Tracy. So Tracy, this is a section of our show that we refer to lovingly as Dear Dystopical. It's an agony aunt sort of section of our show. And usually we ask questions, or we get, members of the community to ask questions about things they'd like the experts or people that have some experience to tell us or give us some insight into. So, and I have two questions for you today. One is, Kat and I were both pretty shocked, and I'm pretty sure other people out there who are listening were pretty shocked to find out that we actually don't have the right to adopt. And I was counting on this as like my child strategy, so I'm a little bit miffed. But what can, members of the general public do? What can we do to support the cause?
I guess this is the big issue. We've still got, through Rainbow Families Council, we've still got the adoption campaign.
Yeah.
So people can be involved in that campaign. We are always short of members and people participating, so we would encourage anyone to join and be on that campaign. But I guess there's practical things people can do. They can contact their local MPs, whether state or federal, and just highlight the issue, go and have a chat, talk about your families, talk about your issues, whether it's adoption, whether it's gay marriage. So there's lots of practical things you can do. Send an email off to your local politicians. So, you know, at a bare minimum, that's something that you can do. So.
And another question this evening is that if you're a queer couple that want to start a family, not even sure where to start looking, what questions to ask, what are the sort of three things you would do first?
Look, there's a lot of consideration. So I guess what most of us would do, talk to family and friends, anyone who's doing it, get some stories, get some information. Check out the websites, whether it's ours or others, you know, mm-hmm. Google, find out what's happening. You can talk to your GP to get a start of, you know.
Are GPs generally pretty knowledgeable about this stuff? Because it really varies, doesn't it?
Yeah, look, you need, obviously, help if you've got a GP who understands if you're in a same-sex couple, if you want to start a family, be talking about those issues. If not, go and find a GP who's
clinics and doctors,
yeah,
that know.
Who's understanding, who can talk through the issues, who can do the referrals, whether it's through IVF, whether you're doing home insemination, you need to think about what are the health issues you need to be considering, and just what the issues that you need to consider. Yeah. But again, if you go to our website, it'll give you a whole lot of information to start thinking about whether it's legal or just some of the issues. And there are other links to community groups and support networks, whether it's prospective lesbian parents, maybe baby. There's things for all members of the community to access, so have a look.
And your organisation holds information forums, does it?
Yep, there's information forums. We try to do information sessions, and when those events are on, we'll publicise those as well. So check us out at rainbowfamilies.org.au.
Oh, brilliant. And thanks for being with us today. Happy Easter.
Thank you. Yeah. Same to you.
And I have to just say, I learnt so much during today's show. I was surprised that I thought I knew stuff that I didn't know. So I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
No problem. Excellent. Thanks.
You're listening to Dystopical on Joy 94.9. That was Coin Laundry by Lisa Mitchell and Thank You by Dido. And speaking of thank yous, a huge thank you to Tracy from the Rainbow Families Council for coming in to talk to us during the Easter break. I hope you're all having a fabulous holiday. We will talk to you again next week. And don't forget to check out the little article about Dystopical in this edition of MCV. Good night.
To find out more about Joy 94.9, check out joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.